Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you stopped by. If you're new to the podcast, please click on the subscribe button if you're listening to YouTube or listening to us on iTunes. Make sure you click on the subscribe button and download and listen to this podcast often and always. Tonight, we're coming to you here from Tips from the Server Room, and this is episode number 5. And we're going to be talking this evening about firewalls and the truth about ports and routes, and also knowing what's inside and outside your connections, and then hiding behind the NAT. And we're going to talk to you about why that may not work for you and why that could be a bad way to actually firewall your actual network. So first, let's go ahead and get started here with firewalls. Now, there's many kind of firewalls out there, as you may know, and the firewall we choose to use in our network, normally we use Cisco gear. And I would tell you from experience, if you're using anything less than an ASA firewall, then you need to be upgrading soon. Because the older firewalls are out, I mean, they're not building any more ISOs for those to make them secure again, so they're just outdated and not going to work out for you any longer. The next thing I can tell you about is knowing the firewall itself, and there's a few different ones you can buy. I mean, I've seen all kind of stuff out there, from SonicWall has a nice firewall, Insecure has a nice firewall. There's many of those out there. The thing is you have to know the firewall, understand the programming language, and understand what it's doing. You, as a systems administrator, need to be able to look at this firewall and make really good judgments on what it's doing, what it's allowing in, and what it's allowing out of your network. Now, let me back up a little bit and explain that to you. So with our firewall, we had trouble with a couple of our computers doing what was known as acting as bots. And you guys know what that is, right? A bot. So it was pushing out emails at about 1,000 a minute. So our upstream internet provider called and said, look, you have a machine there that seems to be pushing out all these emails, 1,000 emails a minute. Well, with 700 computers on your node, it's kind of hard to find out exactly where that computer is. It's kind of hard to track it down. And I know you're saying, hey, if you put some packet sniffers out there, I'm sure you can find it. And we did eventually. But I knew that we wanted to shut that route down as soon as possible. So what we did was, very simply put, I went to the firewall and I said, do not allow. I put an explicit line in that said, deny port 25 from accessing the outside network. So what I did in the firewall, I was able to add one line of code in that firewall and say, look, the mail port, port 25, is no longer allowed to send anything outside of our network. And I did it as a blanket, so I covered all my IPs and I did it for the whole entire network. Now, I know you might be asking, you might be saying, well, Jack, why on earth would you block port 25? Now you can't get email out of your network. We don't host our own email. And that's very beneficial to not host your own email. And the reason I say that is just for that. I don't have to worry about port 25 being open on my network. Now, if you do have your own email server, I just went to a class yesterday, matter of fact, for Exchange Server 2012. So if you do host one of these servers, and you feel you have to have your email in your rack because you have a control issue, or if it's maybe it's bigger than that, maybe it's even some kind of something in your overall network that you're told to do, then what you have to do there is open the port only for the IP address for that server. So all we'd have to do is set up a command in our firewall again to say server inside number IP number, whatever it is, 192.168.1.10, has access to the outside address 72 dot whatever and do an EQ 25. So it would equal port 25 and allow that port to be open and allow that to send out your traffic on that particular port. So that is the truth about the firewalls and routing and how you route. I route everything out of my firewall by explicit port numbers because I know exactly which port is transmitting and receiving on my network. You never want to do a all-all because what you're saying there is everything that comes out that wants to go out is allowed and everything that wants to come in is allowed to come in. Well, you're saying welcome spyware and hello spam. So you don't want to do that. Now we want to know the truth and the understanding of the outside and the inside connections because a lot of people get confused with this because it's so, I just think they overemphasize it is what happens. The outside IP addresses is anything on your network that's routable. So these are given to you by your upstream internet provider and they're handed to you and they say, hey, look, here's your bank of IP addresses. We have, I think they gave us maybe 20 or 30 routable IP addresses. Now, and we know a couple places that we deal with that actually have 300 or 400 routable IP addresses because everything on their network, they gave a routable IP address. Now, why do you need to do that? The reason you need to do that is because you don't understand routers and you don't understand a firewall and you can't set those up properly to make them communicate. So it's easier just to give everything on your network a routable IP address and everything will work, right? But guess what? Everything is now open to the internet and you're allowing every virus and Trojan and everything else in your network. Good luck at supporting that and cleaning that up. I'd rather do it our way because our way we use a NAT or Network Address Translation Table. And what that's saying is we have one outside IP address and inside we have a bank of IP addresses, a Class C network. So that one outside address, every time something in that bank of IPs want to go out, they go, they hit that outside address, it carries that traffic out the internet, it brings it back in through our firewall and drops it off back to that same address and it routes it back to that particular computer on the inside address without having that computer seen on the internet. It doesn't need to be seen outside. So that's the truth about the outside connection. Now the inside connections is anything non-routable. So you make up these addresses and there's banks and you could do a Google search for it. There's bank of addresses that we have to use or that you should use that are considered inside addresses. Now, we happen to use 10 dots in our network, but and we build a Class A network, and then we subnet that down to Class C networks and Class B networks. But you may just have a smaller little network in your office, so maybe you just want to make a little Class C network, and that'll give you 253 addresses, and it's usually plenty for most offices. So that is inside addresses. And again, I hope you're doing that in your office. I hope you don't have everything with a routable address. And if you know, in fact, somebody in your office that does have everything with a routable address, try to stop them as soon as possible because they're going to be letting some bad things happen to your computers. Now, I talked just a few minutes about a NAT. Now, why won't a NAT work as a overall firewall? Because if your computer's not being seen on the internet, then it stands to reason that that computer probably would be pretty safe. You wouldn't have to worry much about anything attacking it. Well, the truth is most the way the NAT works anyway is just what I explained. As traffic's coming into your network through that outside address, it has to get routed. So the information about your computer's being carried through that NAT at some point to make sure the network address translation table knows what computer you're on and where you're at, what information you're requesting, and that packet is going out to the internet. If somebody grabs that packet, they can throw some bad things on and throw that packet back at you, and it's going to go back through the firewall and get routed back to your computer because that is how it's designed to work. And that's just how it's going to work out for you. So as that bad traffic's coming back through, guess what? You now have a bad packet, and you have something bad that just hit your computer. So this is why I said you have to have shields up. And shields up is your firewall. So our firewall inspects those packets as they come in and as they go out. And they say what's going out. And they looks at them and says, okay, it looks good. Let's it go. It comes in. It goes, what is this? Make sure it looks good. Go back to Johnny's computer. You look just fine. That is what the firewall does for you. And there's, like I said, there's many different firewalls, many different vendors, and whatever you pick is what you pick. But in the long run and in the end of the day, just make sure you have some kind of firewall. And if you're on a corporate network, make sure you have more of a firewall on your network than just on the computer. So if you're one of those office techie folks out there we talk to, then make sure your bosses know, make sure you listen to this podcast, say, look, listen to Jack because he's preaching to you. Please let your office techie buy a real firewall. Don't just use the Windows firewalls on the computer, because although they're good in your house to keep a family member from tampering with your computer, it's not really good when you have a steady upstream internet connection and you're hosting things on a server, and not a good idea. So you got to be very, very careful with that. So anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this little short podcast here. These aren't as long as I'd like. I'd like this to be longer, but sometimes when you get long-winded, you just start babbling on too much. I'd rather get to the point, give you folks the information you need out there, and then you can move on to listen to another podcast on your way to work or whatever else. But I really appreciate you stopping by and listening to this podcast. And as I said, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to it. And tell all your friends about it and spread it around. I do want to get one little commercial break there before we sign off. And let me go ahead and play that right now for you. Are you a systems administrator? Are you looking to learn something more about Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012? Or even VMware ESXi Server 5. Then you want to check out my online classes at classroom.jackstechcorner.com. This is where you're going to learn great, great information about those products. And once you're finished taking the course, you will earn a certificate. Once again, that's classroom.jackstechcorner.com. Or if you're trying to learn more about photography and you have that photography bug in your body and you want to get out there and start shooting more with your camera, then please check out my new website, jtclearning.com, where you sign up to be a member of the site. And as I add new content, it will be available to you forever as long as you're a member. So I'd like to thank you for listening to this show. And please check out all my shows here on Spreaker.com. As well as YouTube, I can be found at 42 Technoman, number 42 Technoman. Thanks, and let's get back on to the show. I really got to think about playing that little commercial break there somewhere within the middle of the show, actually. But, hey, it is what it is, and I just wanted to get that out there to you. So if you are looking to learn about, like I said, Windows Server, any of that stuff, and you are that systems administrator or even that office techie, you want to know more about it, join in on those classes, because once you earn a certificate, too, it gives you something nice. I've had a lot of people email me back and say, Jack, you know, I took that certificate, and I put it with my resume, and I got that job I always wanted because I had some server background training and I knew about Windows Server 2008, R2, or 2012, or VMware, and that's what got them the job. So that's good. That's positive. Not that I'm saying it'll get everybody a job, but it can't hurt to have that extra knowledge, and it's very, very inexpensive. If you work for a company, I've had a lot of companies actually pay for the courses for your actual people in the company. So if you're a boss out there and you're listening, and you know you have Johnny being your office tech guy, and he's never actually went to school for tech, could be a very good place. Or if you have gone to school for tech, then it's a great, great refresher. So much for that. But anyway, thank you so much for joining Tips from the Server Room. I appreciate you coming, and I hope you join me next Wednesday for another episode right here on Tips from the Server Room. Take care, have a great work week, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.